This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This is iFanboy Books Blow, The Flash by Mark Waid, Book 1.
Every dollar counts.
iFanboy Booksplode. We're talking about The Flash by Mark Waid, Book 1. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello.
And thanks to the patrons who made this show possible. So for the Booksplode shows, we take a book, a collected edition, a graphic novel, a large-scale comic.
A true book. Sometimes it's got a soft cover, but sometimes it's got a hard cover, and it's a book. It's not an issue. It's not those words that I don't like.
Pamphlet.
Floppies.
Floppy.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a book that's big enough to kill a man, like The Flash, Mark Waid, Book 1.
Or big enough to scare off Josh.
who begged off. So yeah. Ron and I are going to discuss The Flash by Mark Waid, Book 1, which is the first collection of Mark Waid's legendary run on The Flash. So if you are someone who came along to comics in the last, we'll say, 20 years or less, Wally West is probably your Flash. And yep. The reason why Wally West is probably your Flash is because of Mark Waid.
Exactly. Wally West is my Flash, and Mark Waid was my Flash writer.
Now, Geoff Johns also did a really great...
Fantastic
run on The Flash, but he built on what Mark Waid
started.
And so Geoff Johns, the CCO of DC Entertainment, got a nice, beautiful hardcover omnibus collection of his run. Mark Waid, nice little softcover, because Mark Waid doesn't get along with DC right now.
But they turned things around, and it came out.
He got a little essay in the front. So here's a little bit of history for you. So obviously in Crisis on Infinite Earths, 1985-86, Barry Allen, who was the second Flash after Jay Garrick, he died, and his sidekick, Wally West, took over the mantle of the Flash, and as part of the post-crisis reboot, the only successful reboot that has ever really happened in comics, Wally West was the Flash. And so he had his own series, and it started in June of 87. And it went for 61 issues, mostly written by William Messner Loebs. And now, Ron, I'm going to assume that you weren't reading The Flash back then?
No, I was not. I did not get on board with The Flash until the late 90s.
Okay.
So it must have been, I'm trying to find out the issue that I jumped on with.
Right.
But it was post Waringo.
Oh, so yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was late in his run. It was late in Mark Waid's run for sure.
So did you go back and read these issues, or was this reading this book for you the first time you read these comics?
This is reading these issues for the first time.
Oh wow! Okay.
These absolutely were. Yeah, I didn't get into like 97, 98 when you had Impulse and you had Max Mercury and you had Jesse Quick and the kind of expansion
of the Flash family.
Yeah, that's when I got into it.
So you and I love the Flash as a character. People who love the Flash will love the Flash because of what Waid is going to start building from this collection forward. So he came on with issue 62. In early May 1992, when I was 15 years old. And I was reading The Flash monthly at that point. I remember starting with issue 49. I remember this because issue 50, the very next issue, was a big issue where he got a new costume. He got the shinier costume with the white eyes instead of the Barry Allen eyes. That was the end of William Esther Loeb and mostly Greg LaRocque's run. He was the artist. And then Mark Waid, this writer who was new on the scene. He wasn't a name you knew, took over.
I believe he was working in DC Editorial, right?
Right. He did a lot of the Who's Who-like entries. He didn't really... in the essay here, he basically... This is his first major sequential. He'd done some random issues, but this was his first major assignment.
I can't imagine Mark Waid, pedantic comics historian, was... I find it hard to believe he was writing Who's Who editions.
Right. Human Encyclopedia Mark Waid. And so, again, as hard as it may be to believe... Even though Wally West had been around at that point for decades and decades, he really wasn't a character that had much of a personality or interesting story. We didn't really know much about him. So Mark Waid, even though he would, again, had been around for about 5 years at this point with his own solo book, Mark Waid really had a blank slate here to create Wally West. So this collection of The Flash from Mark Waid Volume 1 includes, I'm going to read it off from here, it includes The Flash 62 to 68, The Flash Annual 4 and 5, and The Flash Special. And actually, that's reversed.
It starts with the Flash Special,
starts
right?
with the Flash Special, and then the Flash Annual 4, and then Flash 62 to 68, and then the Flash Annual 5.
Yep. And I believe the Flash Special was technically the Flash TV Special, because at the same time, I'm pretty sure, because at the same time...
Well, it just says the Flash 50th Anniversary Special on the cover.
Okay.
I think there was a different Flash TV Special that you're thinking of. I definitely...
Okay, but either way, maybe not. But it was... It's on Amazon, it says that it said the Flash TV Special in there. I don't know if that's true or not. But this is around the time when the Flash TV show is on CBS.
Right. Correct.
So a lot of eyes are on the Flash at this moment.
And another thing that's worth talking about before we get into the book itself is that... This is a period of time generally regarded as a dark period in comics.
Yeah.
The early 90s, you had a lot of flashy art, but not
flashy,
a lot...
Flashy art, huh?
But not a lot of great storytelling, not a lot of great writing. It was an era known for style more than substance.
Yep.
And also, let's be honest, not a great fashion era, which is reflected in this comic. But what's most fascinating about this... So it starts with the Flash Special, which actually, I don't think Mark Waid actually wrote. He wrote the wraparound. Yeah, he wrote the wraparound.
I confirm this. There is the Flash TV Special is not in this. Right. I'm sorry, that was not it. But yeah, for the Flash Special, he wrote the framing sequence.
Right.
And then different creators did each story, three stories of telling the Flash through the years, because it's the first appearance of John Fox, who is the future Flash.
Right. So Mark Waid, which is funny because Mark Waid sort of, it became a very autobiographical comic after a while. He wrote this for 10 years, by the way.
Yeah, you blew right past that. I wanted to say that. Yeah, that like he started and wrote, it's 10 years, 100 issues-ish, give or take. Right. It is a epic run that you would never see today.
Probably not. Other than Dan Slott on Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. It starts at issue number 62, and he leaves at issue 159.
Right, which is crazy.
Which is crazy.
So everything that Johns did was built off of what Waid had created in those almost 10 years. So the Flash Special, which opens the issue, again, Waid and the editor came up with the idea of a villain who, through the years, fought all three Flashes. Starts with the Jay Garrick story. And then it goes to a Barry Allen story, then ends with a Wally West story, and there's a wraparound story that deals with the future Flash, John Fox. And then we get into the annual, which back then, I loved the annuals. The first annual is Armageddon 2001, which is one of my all-time favorite crossovers, in which this took place in 1991. And here in 2001 became a villain. Wave Rider, the character who they've named the ship on DC Legends after, went back in time to try to figure out who this hero was, and so we could stop him before he turned into the evil villain called Monarch. And in each annual, he would encounter a hero, touch him, see his future, and then try to figure out if that was him or not. And but the problem was, people with multiple books had multiple futures. So it got all muddled up in time travel. But overall, what you get here, I think, is a wide cross-section of early 90s comics. I thought there's some really, there's a really excellent run of comics in here. Yep. And then there's some really, really terrible comics in here.
Well, yeah, and I agree. I think there's an excellent. I mean, you gotta understand it in the context of the time, yes, like you said. You know, in this time period, and you see the beginnings of what Wade could do with this character. And even Wade isn't the writer that he later became. You know, like I wouldn't say that Wade. You know, Wade kind of skyrocketed to notoriety. I would say after Kingdom Come.
Yes.
I think that was really when Mark Wade became a quote-unquote name.
Superstar, yeah.
And then since then, he's done some great stuff. But you see the beginnings and the inklings, and I like that, you know, after – this is kind of disjointed because you're jumping in the middle of it. You've got this special, which is a nice kind of starter for Wade and kind of gives you, like, the sense of the history. But that annual really was kind of jerking. But then it's that first story arc that Wade works on this. I forget the issue numbers, but it's basically Wally West year one.
Yeah, 62 to 65, Flash year one, Born to Run, which is – he gets to reset everything.
Yeah.
You know, we meet Wally West as a little kid visiting his aunt Iris and her boyfriend Barry in Central City. He gets struck by lightning just like Barry did and then becomes Kid Flash. And he gets to restart the mythos, including, I think he's the one that introduces the idea that Wally's body chemistry doesn't handle the Speed Force like Barry's and it's actually killing him, which was something that Wally dealt with for a long time in the comics.
Yep. And as a Wally West fan and as a Flash fan, I never read this, so this was just delightful. I mean, I knew about the legacy with Barry and the lightning strike and the years that Barry didn't tell Wally his identity, which I find crazy that he'd be a sidekick and not know his secret identity. So, like, as a fan, this was like I was just like delightful. It was just a ton of fun. And for me, the art was, you know, late 80s house style. You know what I would expect from a DC comic at the time until the very last issue,
and then
which was the annual 5.
Oh, right.
Which features art by none other than Travis Charest.
We'll get to the annual in a second, but for I want to spend most of our time talking about the Born to Run story because that's the really.
I want to talk about Travis Charest.
We'll get to him too, but
okay.
Meat of this collection is the Born to Run story. Four issue year one, and while Greg LaRocque or however his name is spelled is very much in that sort of Jim Aparo DC house style. For me, when I think about Wally West comics, I think about Greg LaRocque because he did most of the early run. I mean, I know that later on you had guys like Mike Wieringo and Scott Collins. But when I was a little kid, when I was a teenager, going to the store and buying Flash comics, this is what they looked like. So for me, this is very comforting.
And that's what's funny. It's how that impact gets you, you know, because I couldn't even tell you who the artist was when I got on the Flash, but I went back and I read the Wieringo, and Wieringo became my Flash. You know what I mean? Like when I close my eyes, I see Mike Wieringo's Flash and that imprint. And for you, LaRocque, that's, you know, that totally, like, that is something that's visceral. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually surprised how short it is. I think it's because I'm conditioned now to think every story is going to go 6 issues. And this year one story only actually went 4. I wanted more. I wanted him to continue this story. I wanted him to get the yellow suit because in the beginning, people may not know, Kid Flash just wore the same suit that the Flash did.
He was I know. It's like, poor Wally. Like, Wally, he starts off, he doesn't even get his own costume. Then he does get his own costume, and it looks ridiculous. Then he really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of Titans and all this stuff. Then Crisis happens, and he spends 5 years just not mattering, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like, I'm glad that he gets his due in the you know, starting with this and into the 90s. But it was definitely a rough road for Wally. But, I found myself, actually, I thought that this arc, when it ended, I was a little disappointed.
And there's a lot of elements here that Wade will come to utilize later on, investigating Wally's family life. He doesn't have the greatest dad in the world. His grandfather's an important character. The idea of legacy, not just as a superhero, but also as a family member, was something that was important. So there's a lot of those elements begun here. And I had no complaints about the Born to Run storyline. I was all about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have no complaints either. My only complaint is that it was over. I wanted more.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the next issue, which of course is going to be a favorite of mine, is a one-shot guest starring Aquaman. One of my favorite versions of Aquaman, and this was, he still had the classic suit. They hadn't changed it yet, but he had the long hair, which is at times long hair, and at times it's just a serious mullet.
This is pre-Superman long hair, by the way, too, or like right on the verge of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Superman got the long hair after he died, so that would have been in 90.
Yeah, so this is pre-Superman
long
hair.
Right before that.
Yep.
Just a nice little one shot where the Flash is on a cruise.
Which, by the way, is not the first issue that features the Flash on a cruise, because one of the my early issues that I picked up in the late 90s was the Flash and Green Lantern on a cruise.
Wally loves a cruise. He loves a good buffet.
He likes the cruising lifestyle. You know, it's like you don't have to pay for your meals. It's just all-inclusive.
He likes a stand-up comedian who isn't quite good enough for the mainland.
Yeah, it's great. He loves the disco and the casino. They're just great. I mean, it's really the vacation experience on a cruise is unlike anything else in the DC universe.
But also another important element that I had completely forgotten about was that Wally was a character without a secret identity.
Yep.
At some point, I don't remember when it was exactly, you know, he revealed his identity to the world. So everyone knows the Flash is Wally West. So he's on this cruise and he's just Wally West, but everybody knows he's the Flash. He's like running around at super speed. And I had forgotten that. So when he's playing tennis against Linda, but he's running back and forth and playing both sides, I was like, oh, right. He didn't have a secret identity back then. I don't remember when that changed, but that was something that was also important to his character.
And that was very, very modern, postmodern. I don't know which one you want to bit, but the idea of the secret identity-less hero, you know, the hero that's living out in public, that was new. That was a new concept for this time period, at least. And so it was, you know, and that, it brought a whole host of different problems and challenges. And this Aquaman story I thought was a little goofy.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah, and a little, just the fact that the title of it was Fish Story, I think that says it there enough alone. And I love the cover, though.
It's a great cover.
Yeah, the cover's got the race you demanded, Flash versus Aquaman, and then it's Aquaman saying not, because it's 1992, and it says, warning, this scene does not appear in this issue. And that was a very Silver Age cover.
Yes.
And give it up to Mark Waid to kind of, you know, he was the master of bringing the Silver Age into the modern age and merging the two, mainly through the Flash. Unfortunately, I forget who drew this cover, but a obnoxiously large Flash logo on Flash's chest.
Michael T. Collins.
Yeah.
It also says the race you demanded, which I don't think anyone actually did.
I mean, I've always wanted to know who would win, Flash versus Aquaman.
Also, Aquaman sometimes has green pants and gloves and sometimes has blue pants and gloves in this issue.
Yeah.
But
yeah. It was the 90s.
He had like a mood pellet pants. But it's a fun little, you know, one-shot team up between these two characters.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't necessarily team up very much? I remember at the time, there was still a lot of tension. Like, you're not Barry.
Yeah.
You know, I was Barry's teammate and buddy. You're not this guy. And they mined a lot out of that. Let's go back because we sort of skipped over it really fast. So what did you think of the first annual, the Armageddon 2001 annual, in which we see Wally West, who has fallen in love and now lives in witness protection? Like some normal schnook. Not even able to find pasta.
Yeah, exactly. You got egg noodles and ketchup. It was a really good story. It was really intriguing because the idea of a possible future and the idea of, you know, Wally finding happiness and giving up the identity and, you know, living in the witness protection, but then having a powered child, you know, like it jarred me for a second because like I went really deep in the Flash lore in the late 90s, early 2000s about the whole future and all, like, because Mark Waid played, and that's why a lot of the TV show stuff now plays with time travel and things like that, because Waid started doing that. And a couple times I flipped the pages back and forth. I'm like, I don't remember this. When did this happen? like it really jarred me for a moment. But then once I got to it, it was good. I definitely enjoyed it. I didn't love the art in this one.
No.
You know, again, because it's that early 90s style. This was E. Craig Brassfield, I think, was the penciler. But from a story-wise, it was solid, I thought.
Yeah, and what was interesting about that particular story, and so what would happen for all the young listeners is that back then, the events would happen in the annuals in the summertime. So you got one event a year, not every 3 months. And it happened throughout the annuals. You had like at least in DC's case, you had like a first issue, and then it would go into the annuals, and then you have a final issue. And so it was super crazy as like a 13-year-old to be reading, oh my God, this is what happens to the Flash? He goes into witness protection. But then sometimes you see him in a different scenario. Then you find out that the future is malleable because at the end of this story, Wave Rider basically prevents the Flash from meeting the girl that would send him off into witness protection. And then I think condemns her to death.
Yeah, because I think so too.
The mobster takes her away. And I was like, oh, yeah. So she's dead now.
Yep. So that happened.
But that was what was really interesting about it. And he had a character like Batman who had like three books. So he got three different futures. So then as a kid, it kind of blew your mind. Yeah. But that was fun. So year one was fun. Aquaman is sort of goofy. The next issue was a abracadabra story. Which is funny because abracadabra is very important now.
Right. And Waid said, wait, did you read the intro? Did you read the, So Waid out and out says that abracadabra was his go-to villain for much of his Flash run. And this is the beginning of that, which I thought was great. As a Flash fan, it was nice to see the beginnings of that.
It's also good to see in the future women just don't wear pants. You know, the Abracadabra is from the future. He uses technology. It looks like magic. I guess like a time cop, kind of like on the Flash TV series that Gypsy is, comes back to bring Abracadabra back, but she's not wearing pants. She's wearing basically a thong because it's the 90s.
Hey, it's what happens, you know?
I think, well, maybe that's just the uniform, but then you see the guy's not wearing thongs.
Right.
And this is actually a two-parter, I believe. That was fine. Like, it was okay. I never really liked Abracadabra all that much.
Yeah. I definitely like the Reverse Flash and Zoom and all that sort of stuff and more.
Yeah.
But and of course, the Rogues are just amazing, you know? But Abracadabra, I appreciate it. I don't know. Right. I like him a little more than you.
Well,
do,
at least in this particular issue, to me, that issue was the most 90s issue of all of them.
Agreed.
So then we get to the one that Ron's most excited to talk about, the Flash Annual number 5, which is part of the Eclipso crossover, in which Eclipso came and wreaked havoc for the DC Universe. What was the name of the... They put the cover in the wrong place in the book.
I got the cover right here. It was Eclipso, The Darkness Within.
That's right.
Yep.
In the book, there's a misprint. The cover is before the final...
Yes, I saw it, which confused me a lot.
This was notable because Mark Waid wrote with Craig Boldman, but it was drawn by Travis Charest. And I remember as a 15-year-old, 14-year-old, being super excited by Travis Charest.
Well, here's the thing. This literally blew my mind because this sent me down a comics history hole because I was a huge Travis Charest fan. I still am to this day. I wish we had more. He's stuck in Meta Baron's world and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, and I did not know that he got a start at DC. I always assumed he got a start doing Wildstorm books, doing Wildcats.
DC, totally. Yeah.
And so he started with Dark Stars, and then he did this. And I had no idea he was actually a nominee in 1993 for the Russ Manning Newcomer Award.
Oh, wow.
And do you know who won that year?
No.
Jeff Smith.
Interesting.
Yeah, I couldn't find who the other nominees were, but I did find out that Jeff Smith won that year, which then sent me down a whole rabbit hole of the Russ Manning Award, which you just wouldn't believe who the people who've won the Russ Manning Award. I mean, that's how I feel. It's another whole nother show, but it's fascinating. I had no idea this is where he got his start. So I just I was giddy reading this whole story, and it was great to see his beginning and to see the beginnings of what he would become, because he's certainly not there at this point.
He's rough,
but it is light years different than LaRocque. It is definitely more of a contemporary 1992-93 style, you know, which is, you know, Jim Lee, Will Sportaccio influenced. You know, you see it on the page.
During this period of time, this is when 1992-93, you know, this is when Image explodes. So you.
Yep.
This is the most Image-like art you'll probably see outside of Image. And as a kid, I remember having him doing The Flash. I was completely flabbergasted by how that was happening.
Yep. Yeah.
Because you're right. Comparatively, this book doesn't look like it fits with the other books.
Yep.
And it's also really rough. Like, even that first shot of The Flash, his eyes are about 3 inches above where they should be. But, you know, this is a story where the Rogues, this is also a Rogue story, so I can imagine why this is also Ron's favorite. So of course, there's a heist. And Captain Cold's sister, Golden Glider, is trying to trick the Rogues into helping her steal the Black Diamond from the museum. Of course, anyone who knows Eclipso knows that Eclipso is in the Black Diamond. And so they get possessed by Eclipso, and there's a whole big thing that goes on. But
and you're glossing over the fact that, yes, it's Golden Glider, Captain Cold's sister, but Captain Cold is not in the issue. And who is using the cold gun?
Chilblain.
Chilblain, one of the worst. Like, oh, Chilblain.
Really bad.
I laughed out loud. Chilblain is, I mean, we can't have Captain Cold, so we're going to get this other guy. And I just love it. I love the Rogues. Doesn't matter any era or any period. They're so overly 90s. Chilblain's costume is awful.
Oh yeah,
you know, like it's just a sad.
He's got the Captain America mask with the head. She has like a Nomad mask.
Yep.
He looks like Nomad, actually.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does look like Nomad.
But my highlight was the off duty Wally West white pants, blue shirt with the black and red polka dot tie, but loosened to about 3 buttons down.
Yep.
I don't know how any of us survived that era, clothing wise. Also, he's got the belt with the that's not tucked into the loops but hanging down.
Yep.
It's just madness.
I know. I try not to think about the early 90s fashion, especially in this context.
There's a great Flash versus the Rogues sequence. Chunk, one of the Flash's important supporting characters, is in the issue.
Yep.
And you get that classic Well, you know, it's a cliche to talk about the Flash and the Rogues relationship, but it's true. I mean, you get that classic sort of, hey, you know, we're fighting, but we're buddies, and oh, there's a bomb going off. Let's all help each other so we don't die. And then maybe Golden Glider and Chilblain are the real villains here. And then, oh, who's this Eclipso guy? He's the real villain. Let's work together. Like, it was that kind of, you know, Flash Rogues kind of thing, which I thought this was terrific, this particular issue.
Yeah, it was great. This was great. I mean, this felt like 90s comics to me. Like, that's why, like, the beginning of this, like I said, felt more like late 80s. But yep. This is the first entry into 90s comics, and I was like, oh, man, I want more. And then I had to go see if Travis Shore had done any more, and this is the only time he ever worked in The Flash, sadly. He went on to he did a Batman issue, did some more Dark Stars, continued doing Dark Stars, and then in 94 he's over doing Wildcats, and that starts my love of everything.
You know, I remember that Batman issue because yeah. It was such a crazy thing that this was like who is this person?
Right. See, and that's what I love. That's what I loved about it back then, because that's like the first time I saw Will Portacio, that was like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, and Sheree definitely had that, and he became a much, you know, like his style just evolved and becomes this like pretty, you know, like right now, I mean, the closest artist in contemporary comics that I would describe Travis Sheree, another Russ Manning Award winner, Mr. Jerome Pena.
Interesting.
I think is very, you know, not style, but in terms of uniqueness amongst the crowd of other artists.
Yes.
Like, you saw what Opeña dropped with, you know, on Avengers and even on Fury and stuff like that. I was like, gee, where did this guy come from? You know, like, and it's that same feeling that I got with Sheree back in the day.
Especially in contrast, right? So you've got, again, I love Greg LaRocque, but he's got a very 80s DC style, which I love. But like, even yeah. Craig Brassfield, you know, Michael T. Collins, you know, Irv Novik, who did none of these guys gonna look anything like Travis yeah. Sheree. So it was really like a what is happening kind of situation.
And actually, that reminds me of something. To go back to the first special, who were the artists on the three stories on the first special? Because that also scratched the same, like, ooh, because they did the story of the Flashes over the years, but they got period correct. Yeah. Are creators to be on it, and
the creative teams were Mark Waid and Mike Parabek, the great late Mike Parabek.
I saw that, your favorite, yeah.
Did the wrapping story. Len Strzuski and Irv Novik did the Jay Garrick story, which I really like the Jay Garrick story a lot.
Yep, me too.
This is young college age Jay Garrick, which people remember complaining about him being young in '52. And then Gerard Jones and Carmine Infantino.
Yes, that's the one. I was story. Like, ooh, Infantino.
Right. And then who did the Wally story? William Esner Loebs wrote it, and Grant Mahim drew it. Who I don't know his name, but you know, Infantino is one of the all-time classic Barry Allen Flash artists. I mean, this special looked fantastic.
Yeah, it really did. It really did. All in all, for a
and
Flash,
the cover by Joe Kubert.
Yes, a Joe Kubert, a rare Joe Kubert cover where you're like, I don't think that anatomy works.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
they're flying through space.
Yeah,
really, really great. And I hope we get the whole run. I see that The Flash by Mark Waid, book two, is already solicited for May, which is good. That collects The Flash 69 through 79, plus a Green Lantern issue, but there must have been a crossover, plus a Flash annual, plus just like an International Quarterly issue. So I hope we get more of these, because it is really important. Yeah. Besides it being great comics, besides you being able to watch the birth of Wally West and the evolution and the growth of Wally West, again, this Wally West... Not the Wally West you know later on, but this is where he starts, and this is where he starts to grow. Yep. And I hope we get to have these, because they're important comics. 4 years, if you ask me and Ron what our favorite comics are or characters, he and I'm going to talk for you now, but he and I are both going to say The Flash.
Please speak for me. No. If you turn and say, who's your favorite DC character, it's without a doubt first, not even a pause in thinking, he's a goddamn American treasure. It's the Flash.
Yeah.
And that is Barry, Wally, Jay. Bart, like the Flash as a whole. That is my DC character.
Right. Yeah. And this is where it began. I mean, there were good comics before. I enjoyed them. I read them. I read Barry Allen comics as a kid. The Flash is a great character, but this is where the Flash as a major force in the DCU, a character with a huge fan base, comes from the begins of these books, this particular book. So if you're a Flash fan, you never read the Mark Waid books, pick this up and be prepared. You know, it's a very early 90s. It's gonna get better as it goes. But this is worth reading, especially that Flash year one story in the middle, which is really just absolutely terrific.
Yep. Love it.
So if you want to talk about The Flash by Mark Waid, book one, You can go to iFanboy.com. There'll be a post for this show. You can tell us what you thought. If you read comics back then, you read The Flash, you can tell those stories. I remember running to the store when The Flash 50 came out because I was so excited to see his new costume. Basically the same costume. His belt was a little different.
God damn, I love The Flash. I miss, like for me, it was like I had a little DC awakening in the late 90s, and a part of it was Grant Morrison's run on JLA, and then that fed into The Flash. And there was a time where I couldn't get enough Flash comics, and this just reminded me of that. It was such a great time. Love it. So yeah, tell us your Flash memories. Go comment on this episode.
Do you have a Flash memory other than a specific one?
I've shared a lot of them. How I got hooked on The Flash was I was in Toys R Us buying Star Wars figures, and they had like back issues wrapped in plastic, not dead.
Wrapped in plastic.
And they had like five issues wrapped together for like $7, and I was like, oh, I'll try that. And it was a bunch of Flash and Green Lantern comics. That's what got me. It was all Wally and Kyle.
Got
me hooked.
So until the next Booksplode, which will be in 2 months or 2 months from now, I'm Connor.
I'm Ron.
Enjoy The Flash. Go read it. She said.